Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Hello, Calvary. We're so happy that you're joining us today and together making this time at the beginning of the week an important part of what we do as we head each week into new opportunities and new possibilities, new days and weeks to give a better balance, to strike a better balance in the priorities that lie before us. We've taken this whole month and looked at the four integral priorities that we can find a better balance within what God has called us to do. Talking about seeking God first, looking at family, looking at our health and how that works, and how work and life balance can be found. We talked about last week. And so today, we're in episode 4 and the conclusion of our series, actually. And today we're going to zero in looking at our health. And I trust these teachings over the course of this month have been a blessing to you. And I hope that they've added value to your life and that you've been able to kind of understand a little bit better how these priorities work and how they work together. Again, understanding that it all flows from our commitment to Christ, that when we seek Him first, that all things will be added to us in the balance that God has for our lives. And so with all what we've experienced in the past year, our emotional health has become probably a greater priority or concern than it ever has been before. You know, I noticed last week when the sun comes out in those rare moments, everybody rushes outside. But what a difference it makes in people's emotions. Suddenly people feel like there's hope and renewed possibility. But all it takes is one day after when the rain hits and it continues to rain for an entire week and that gray, dark cover above us suddenly seems to sap all the energy from that hope that we once felt when the sun was shining. And in the Pacific Northwest, we certainly get more than our fair share of it. It can be downright depressing. But you know what? Regardless of the weather patterns, people today are struggling like never before with issues of depression and mental health issues. And so it's an area that we need to talk about. We need to find and strike a better balance in. Now, let me start by saying I'm not an expert. I'm not a clinical counselor or a doctor. I'm a pastor. So everything I'm saying to you today is from that standpoint. I want to bring you the word which I know will bring health and healing to your life. And as I lead you to God, as we go in that direction, I know that He can heal everything that you're struggling with. You know, I think today that probably the number one health concern around the world is probably depression. And I think we've all been touched by it at one time or another in our lives. And with such a large church family, it's difficult sometimes when we come together, when we're allowed to come together, to recognize who's struggling. And now more than ever, it's more difficult because we don't often see those faces. We know people are out there. We know that they're going through it. But people over the years have become very good at concealing what they're going through. They operate in their lives and make an adjustment where they need to have the appearance that everything is okay, when silently many people are suffering. And it's something that we can no longer not discuss within our families, within the friends that we have, and especially within the church. And while we show grace and empathy for those who struggle with physical illness, I think a stigma still remains when it comes to talking about mental health. And sadly, it's this stigma that prevents many people from getting the help that they actually need. And so I believe that stigma needs to be removed. I think we need to be addressing it within the people that we love and care for. We need to be addressing it within the church community. And we can fight depression, truthfully, with biblical strength when we understand that illness is not our identity. It's not who we are. Pastor Chris Hodges once said in this vein, he said, it's okay to not be okay. Sickness is not a sin. I think we need to realize that before we can take our first steps towards the health that God wants in our lives. We're a church filled with imperfect people. People who are trying to navigate what emotional health looks like as we draw from His strength and not from our own. You know, we're all dealing with something when it comes to God being at work within our lives. So I want you to know today that you're among friends, that this is a safe space to hear God's truth and to know that the people that are in your church, that they're in your corner, that they're cheering for you. And if you're going through depression today, if you're struggling with mental health, listen, I want you to know that there is hope. I want you to know that Christ understands that weight and wants to deliver you from it to a better day. Stephen Ilardi, author of a book called The Depression Cure, who's also a professor in clinical psychology, he said this, which I thought was so pointed. He says, we were never designed for the sedentary, indoor, socially isolated, fast food-laden, sleep-deprived, frenzied life that modern life brings our way. So true. It's so powerfully true. And this present-day lifestyle, this reality that we're faced with, is actually reshaping the way that we think. And it's not good. It's not good at all. We weren't created for that picture. You know, we're walking around carrying a mobile device now wherever we go. We go to bed with it. We wake up with it. We go to work with it. We take it to the bathroom. We take it to the restaurant. We watch television with it. People are constantly checking their social media to see what's happening. And instead of getting out there and enjoying the fresh air, instead of trying to get that sun when it does appear, many have closed the blinds to try to escape reality, to try to get away from it all. And then add to that a generation who is deeply confused about their identity, and it's really a recipe for disaster. See, knowing who you are in Christ radically changes the way that you live your life. It changes the way that you process your pain. You can't drink away your pain. You can't entertain away your pain. You can't self-medicate that pain away in your life. And you can't eat it away either. Everybody's trying to do something to take that pain away, and it's only Christ who can remove that pain from your life. You know, this narcissistic culture that we live in has really reached toxic levels. You can't take enough selfies in your life to feel seen or accepted or needed. And so being so focused on ourselves leads to ruin. We can't even lift our eyes to see the need that's around us because we can't see past what we're going through ourselves. And so sadly, this kind of emotional imbalance has become so overwhelming for some people that it leads some to end it all. And nothing is more tragic than a life lost to emotional distress. It's a permanent attempt to solve a temporary problem. But the good news is this: you don't have to die to escape your pain. That is the truth. And it's so important that we as a church recognize the pain that people are going through so that we have an opportunity to lead them to the one who can take that pain away. Don't rely on your own counsel when you're feeling depressed or confused. Sometimes our self-thought takes us to places we don't need to be. There is help for those that need it. There's hotlines and pastors and counselors and physicians. There's people that stand at the ready to help. And so if that's you, I want you to have hope today, to know that there is a possibility of a better day. Or if you know someone that you love that is going through these things, church, we need to be there for those people. We need to see those lives saved from the clutch of the enemy who's trying to drag them into a darker place and pull them into the light and love them into a better day. But what does God say about it all? What does What does he, how does he address it? Because scripture is not silent on the subject of emotional health. Jesus understood the weight that we're talking about. As a matter of fact, some of the greatest heroes of the faith were men and women who faced deeply troubling times. People that went through darker days than some of us have experienced. As a matter of fact, there's an entire book in the Bible called Lamentations, written by Jeremiah, who wrote about his own battle with grief, wrote about his own challenges when it came to his emotional health. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 17 to 20 says this. He says, "I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is." You know, I think many of us have forgotten what prosperity looks like or feels like. And that's why the church is so important. Being rooted in a community of faith, God can remind you of the life that's available to you. You see, prosperity is more than a bank account full of money. Prosperity, true prosperity, is all about physical health, about spiritual health, about emotional health. Jeremiah goes on to say, "So I say my splendor is gone." He's in a bad spot. "And all that I had hoped for from the Lord." Even he feels that he's at a place where even his hopes have been taken from him. "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me." You see, Jeremiah was sitting and thinking, sitting and thinking, sitting and thinking, day in and day out. And so when you don't have those outside voices speaking into your life and you're left alone with that self-talk, it takes you to a very dark place. See, when we shut the people out of our lives that God has brought into our lives with purpose, and we're left alone with those thoughts, we begin creating things that aren't even true. We begin kind of soaking and marinating in these lies. And that's what takes us to a lower place. We start to rehearse and remember wrong things. We remember things that didn't even take place. Suddenly, the things people say to us that were meant to see our good, now we feel like we're being criticized, we're being judged. And it eventually brings us to a place where we're feeling completely downcast, like Jeremiah was feeling here in Lamentation. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles that we've experienced." I don't want any of you to be uninformed about what we're talking about today, about the importance of emotional health and finding that balance in our lives. We need to talk about it as a church. We need to talk about it with one another. And then he goes on to say, "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." He was really feeling in this moment like he couldn't go on another day. Again, it's okay to not be okay. I think when we accept that, we begin to see that we need something more than what we can offer ourselves. We need to go to him. So again, let's talk about it. Let's get it out there in the open. Let's get and receive the healing that he offers to all of us. Any sickness, any illness that we face, spiritually, physically, or emotionally, is not beyond his ability to cure. He is the Lord of my emotional health. He is the Lord of your emotional health. So stop listening to and soaking in all of that self-talk and start abiding in him. Start abiding in the promises that he's given us. You know, throughout this series, we've talked a lot about rhythms and how God has a rhythm and a balance for you that he's created for you. But it starts, I believe, with recognizing our strengths and our weaknesses. You know, sometimes our greatest lows come after our greatest highs. I know that this is true in my life. When I look back over the years, even of ministry, I can come and have a Sunday where people are coming to Jesus, where the glory of God and his power is so strong. Or we've had an outreach, you know, at Christmas or Easter, and we've seen God do incredible things. And so on a Sunday morning, we can be as high as we can be in Christ. But you know what? It's usually on a Sunday night when the devil tries to whisper in my ear and get in my head to discourage me. After I've been up here, he tries to pull me down here. So it shouldn't surprise you when you're going through something incredible that it's usually followed by a deep attack. So we need to be prepared for that. We need to be on guard in our lives. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 18, the prophet Elijah experiences one of the greatest victories in all of biblical history. Here it's the kind of ultimate God showdown as Elijah squares off with the 450 prophets of Baal, or the devil, to determine whose God is the God. And so they determined in this moment that they would have both offer a sacrifice. You take a bull, I'll take a bull. We'll build an altar, we'll get all the wood out there, and then we'll call out on our God, and whichever one answers will be the God. And so they all agreed. And so the prophets of Baal, they got their bull up on the altar, they get all the firewood ready, all the rocks around the base of the altar, they lit it on fire. The Bible says that from morning till noon, they cried out to their God. Just, they did everything they knew to do. Tore their clothes, screamed and hollered. They shed blood. They did everything they knew to do, and nothing. Their God did not answer. As a matter of fact, Elijah was feeling a little bit salty in this moment, and he was saying, maybe your God is asleep. Maybe you need to yell a little louder and wake him up. Maybe he's gone on a trip. Maybe he's not available right now. He's gone fishing. He's not here for you. But then he looks at his servants and he says, go and grab those water jugs, fill them to the top, and I want you to soak down all of the wood. Soak down the offering. So the Bible says that they went and they did that. As a matter of fact, they brought so much water in and soaked it down so much that the water kind of gathered in the ditch around the altar. And then he stood before God because he knew his God would answer. And he called upon God to move. And the Lord sent fire down and consumed that offering, consumed everything that was there, including the water that was kind of licked up and disappeared. And so this was an incredible victory. As a matter of fact, he went on to make sure that all of those prophets were killed by the sword on that day. It was a day filled with bloodshed, but it was a great day of victory for Elijah. But here's what I want you to see. That was in chapter 18, but by the time we get to chapter 19, we see something different. You see, he may have been living the dream in that moment, but the next chapter, after his highest of highs, we see his lowest of lows. You see, Ahab, who arranged this whole kind of prophet smackdown, went back and told Jezebel what had happened. Told her that all of the prophets were killed. And so she was upset. She was irate. And so she sends a messenger to Elijah and says, I'm going to do to you what you did to them. That was her threat. So how does our hero respond? 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 to 4 says, Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. He ran for his life. This is the same man who stared down the 450 prophets of Baal, called down fire, and won the day and executed them all. And yet now, with the threat of one angry lady, he cowers in fear. After his highest of highs, he pitches down to a very low place. And it says, when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. So Elijah chooses to isolate himself. Not good, not a good thing. As a matter of fact, it said, while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. So he didn't just go up a mountain or up a hill and have his servant wait. No, he went a day's journey away. He truly isolated himself from anybody that could even help him. It says he came to a broom bush, which is like a tree that provides some shelter and shade. And he sat down under it, and he prayed. What did he pray? He He prayed that he might die. He says, I've had it. I've had enough. Have you ever said that? I have. This past year, I think I've said that several times. I have had enough. Come on. This can't continue like this. I have had enough. But see, in Elijah's situation, it was much deeper than that. He says, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. You see, the root of all depression and emotional imbalance is often found in faulty thinking. Elijah was believing his own self-talk, especially as he had isolated himself. There was nobody to talk him off the ledge or to say, no, you're overreading it. You see, he rehearsed it over and over and over again, like we do sometimes. You see, we need to replace faulty thinking with the promises of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9 says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what does the Bible say? Think on these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Don't just hear it. Walk it out in your life. And the God of peace will be with you. You see, our thinking is directly influenced, or our thinking directly influences the peace we have or do not have. And the enemy will use that self-talk to create that faulty thinking, to confuse us, that we've had enough, that we're too overwhelmed, that we can't take it anymore. But I want you to know today that the priority of emotional health in your life is still possible in Jesus' name. You see, in Elijah's fear, he also chooses, as we saw, to isolate himself. That was a bad move, to pull himself away. You see, when you isolate yourself and are left alone to think over and over and over about these lies, it pulls you into a place that leads to your destruction. That's why we're always talking about here at Calvary, groups, small groups, get in a group. I believe it's not just an optional thing that you can do on your calendar for the week or the month. It's a necessity. It's a necessity to join yourself with other people who are headed in the same direction as you. That when you fall down, somebody's there to lift you up and say, come on, man, you can do this. We can get through this together. Surround yourself with those kind of people. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. Makes sense. But two can stand back to back and conquer. You see, if I had somebody standing at my back, they can see the things that I can't see coming and provide additional support for me. And that's just talking about two people. But then it goes on to say three, now talking about a group, are even better than two. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So who's got your back? Who's got your back today? Who's watching for you? I've got people in my life that I trust, that will check in on me, that I will connect with, that I draw strength from. So important that we have those kind of relationships in our lives. Now, the other thing we see in Elijah's response to Jezebel's threat is that he was being led by his feelings. He was being carried away in this moment. Emotional health is not built on the foundation of feelings, but on the truth of God's promises. Just let that sink in. John 8:32 says, and you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. Remember, we talked about this in episode 1 when we talked about him being the priority in our lives that everything else flows from. Spending time daily in God's word and in prayer is such a key to walking through these seasons in our lives, regardless of what you're facing. There's so many resources now that will help you to chart a course, whether it's devotionals or people that are meeting online in small groups to walk through the scriptures together. Spending that time with God and with one another allows us to start living in a way that we're not led by our emotions and our feelings. And the last thing we saw Elijah do was was to compare himself to his ancestors. Comparison is a huge trap. It's a huge hole that so many people fall into. Stop comparing yourself to other people and start discovering who you are in Christ. Nobody's life looks as good as it does on their Instagram feed. Nobody's that balanced. Nobody's that good in their lives. They take pictures, beautiful pictures, you know, as the sun goes down in that golden hour, embracing the one they love. And people look at it and think, oh, they're so perfect. Nobody's posted a picture of all the dirty dishes in the sink or you in bed with a pillow on your head because you don't want to get out of bed and the windows are drawn and it's dark. That stuff just doesn't get the likes, right? Because what's posted is people's high points, not their low points. And so it's an illusion. And when we get caught in comparison, we think, I'm the only one going through these things while everybody else is living such a charmed life. Paul said it like this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Who are you trying to please? We live, truthfully, for an audience of one. Our job is not to live in this world to please everybody that's around us, because I can't serve God and please people at the same time. So, to avoid giving the enemy a place in our lives that could lead to fear, that could lead to anxiety, that could lead to a place of depression, in order to avoid that, we need to avoid the traps that we see Elijah walking through, that faulty thinking, that living in isolation, being led by our feelings, and then comparing ourselves to others. We need to begin to prioritize self-care if we're eventually going to have something healthy to offer to the world so that we can help other people. Remember, last week we talked about resting regularly and how important that was to eat right, to exercise, to pray, to get that rest that you need. Well, see, eventually Elijah would discover these very same truths and he would get the rest that he needed. He would eat properly and he began to see himself on a path to restoration. And it was out of that emotionally healthy place that Elijah heard from God. It was from that emotional healthy place that he got the direction that he needed. The direction that you need today comes from an emotional healthy place that God wants for you and that is possible in him. Listen to me. Your family needs you. Your friends need you. Your church needs you. So where does lasting emotional health begin? Well, the first place in my mind that it begins is we need to get to a place where we just pour our heart out to God. He can handle it. He can handle your hot mess when you lay it all out before him. Don't hide anything. Let it all out. Sometimes we need to talk it out, to vent, to complain a little bit. He can take it. Let that out. And you know what? The truth is, sometimes that process requires a counselor to help you process some of those emotions. So talk to God and talk to somebody you trust. Talk to somebody who is equipped to guide you through that process. And again, those people are available. You see, a lot of what Elijah vented to God in the first place wasn't even true. He was just complaining. And yet God patiently stayed with him through this entire process. You see, if you keep trying to bottle it up, keep pushing it down in your life, it's like a time bomb that's eventually going to go off, and the enemy will use that against you. Second thing we need to do is get healthy physically. And this one is easier said than done. Again, when that sun makes its appearance, get out there. Start to move. Start to embrace some of that exercise that you need in your soul. Let that vitamin D course through you. You see, when Elijah finally rested, when he finally ate something proper and then rested a little bit more, when he finally took care of himself, he got beyond that turmoil. He got beyond that fear that was controlling him, and he moved into a place of emotional health. Third thing we need to do is to experience the power and the presence of God. And here at Calvary, we try to balance both of those things in all that we do. But to hear his voice, the way to do this in your own life is to turn down the volume on all the other voices that are speaking into your ear. Make time for God and listen to his voice. Sometimes we need to stop, not fill the air with words, but simply listen. Slow ourselves down. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I'm God." As if to say, you'll never truly know him until you still yourself. And then the fourth thing we need to do is we need to let God give us a new purpose and a new direction. See, Elijah understood this firsthand. He came full circle from God doing incredible things and being on that high to being at the lowest point of his life, but then finding his way out of those traps back to a place of health where he could hear the purpose and the direction of God in his life. You know, I don't know of anything else that brings more meaning to the life that we have than discovering the purpose. Why am I here? Why has God created me? And the best thing that I can do to pastor you is to help you see something that's bigger than you. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Listen, it may hurt right now, and I'm not diminishing that. But we have something to look beyond the pain and see as hope for what's to come. If I was to be really honest, this past year for me has been the greatest test ever of my emotional health. And as I've said before, some days we feel like we're winning that battle more than others. But as I fix my eyes on the eternal, when I fix my eyes on Christ and who he's called me to be, and I have an understanding of that purpose within me, it gives me the strength to get back up even when I fall down. So church, let me tell you this. We love you. We are here for you. And there's help if you need it. I want to encourage some of you that have never talked to anybody before to make a point to do it. Don't pretend it will go away. Listen, we have a whole team of pastors here at the church who would love to sit down, pray with you, give you some biblical counsel, give you some referrals to professional counseling in your life. You may even need to get your doctor involved in the process, but do something. Take a step. Take one step towards emotional health. And as we've seen Isaiah, he went from a high to a low and then a comeback. This is your year to come back. For those of you that are watching today that maybe don't know Christ, or maybe you've wandered away from him, before you do any of those things, you need to call out to heaven. You need to call upon the God who sent his son to save you, because that's where purpose begins. Understanding the power of the gospel in your life, about what Christ did for you, to forgive you of your sins, to be that sacrifice. Man, that is so far-reaching that when you truly see it, it will change you forever. And your heart may be beating today because, you know what? This is an opportunity for you. I would love to pray with you right now as we close our service. I want to pray for those of you that have maybe wandered a little bit. Or maybe you don't know Christ at all. You're hearing some of these truths for the first time. Maybe you're dealing with emotional imbalance, depression, or mental health issues. I want you to know today that the one who can save you can also heal you, and he will. But it starts with knowing him. You know, we have our team online today that would love to pray with you, love to give you information about those next steps. But right now, our number one priority is praying for you to know him. Would you pray with me now? Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I recognize that my sin has separated me from you. I thank you today that my illness does not define me. It's not my identity. And that sometimes recognizing I'm not okay is a good thing, because it helps me to look to you. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord, be my Savior, sit on the seat of my life. I thank you for the forgiveness of sins. I thank you for a new beginning and for a church that can stand with me. Today, for those that have wandered, I pray in Jesus' name that you would find your way back, that you would commit yourself to him. And for those of you that need that emotional health restored to your life, today in Jesus' name, I come into agreement and I believe that for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, Calvary. This message has weighed so heavy on me because I know so many people are going through this reality. Now, in just a moment, Pastor Brad is going to lead us in our final act of worship as we take our offering together. But can I say something? Can I be honest with you? Last year, we had a year like everybody around the world has never seen before. Unbelievable. And yet God truly saw us through. We saw our budgets met each and every month. But you know what? As we've begun this new year, I just want to be honest with you and say the first couple of months of this year, we need your help. We haven't been able to meet our budget in the first couple of months. We've done well, but if some of you have kind of paused to wait to see what's going to happen, I ask you to push in again. Would you do that? Your faithfulness, your diligence to give. As some of you are believing for financial miracles of your own, we saw some of you give so sacrificially. But if there's those of you that could do something extra, listen, help us in the first part of this year to start it off strong, to meet those budget markers that we haven't been able to quite get to. And we trust in the God who is our provider, but he also uses all of us to be a part of it. So I pray that God would bless you as you give. I pray that you'd have an amazing week. God's best to all of you, Calvary. And we look forward to seeing you next Sunday for Calvary Church Online.